Let's say you're a guy, and you've done just fine so far. Why should you think about changing your ways to fit in with women? It seems absurd even to consider the possibility. Ladies? Women? Gals? Hell, I don't know. You need to man up if you want to succeed in a man's world, one Wall Street Journal reader wrote after I suggested in an article that men try to better understand women. As another male reader put it, women need to learn the way men interact and change themselves accordingly. Actually, women already change themselves plenty. If you're a man, here are a few things you should know. I wear high heels at work because I'm convinced that makes me look more powerful to you. Research tells me I'm right. Taller women earn as much as 8% more than shorter ones. Linda Hudson, former chief executive of defense contractor, BAE Systems, hired a drama teacher so she could get rid of her Georgia accent and lower the pitch of her voice to sound more like you. Dr. Carmen Quatman, a chief orthopedic surgical resident at Ohio State University, sought out coaching to look as confident as you, as if it wasn't enough that she'd already published 20 papers, presented at 17 conferences, and won 6 national awards. All of us, and countless other women, are attempting to fit into a professional world that was created in the image of men. The way we speak, dress, write emails, present ourselves, we're conscious of how we come across in a culture that's not quite our own. We're always a little bit like a tourist, trying to mimic the habits of the locals so we can blend in. New York Times reporter David Streitfeld perfectly captured the impossible balance many women are trying to strike in a piece he wrote about a sex discrimination suit. Speak up, but don't talk too much. Light up the room, but don't overshadow others. Be confident and critical, but not cocky or negative. That's one reason why women have been so intrigued by social psychologist Ann Cuddy's work on power posing. She's found that we can improve our confidence and actually increase our testosterone levels, literally appear more like men, by adapting simple power poses, like standing, arms akimbo with hands on hips and legs wide, the Wonder Woman, putting our legs up on our desks, or puffing out our chests. The poses not only increase testosterone levels by as much as 20%, they also decrease stress levels. Not surprisingly, these poses come naturally to men, but they are foreign to most women, not to mention difficult to pull off in a pencil skirt and heels. We do them anyway. We change our appearance to fit in with you too. A woman's looks sometimes count more than her resume. One study found that women with blonde hair earn 7% more than brunettes. Women who wear makeup get better jobs and quicker promotions. Thin women out-earn heavier women. White women who are overweight pay a financial penalty of a 12% drop in their wealth. Multiple studies have found that people of both genders who are more attractive than average earn more money than their less genetically gifted peers, but there too men have the edge. When researchers interviewed 14,000 people, they concluded that for women, grooming, hair, makeup, clothes counts even more than looks when it comes to earnings. Take it from me. It costs a small, make that more like a large, fortune for all that upkeep. The average woman spends $15,000 on cosmetics alone during her lifetime, and that's just for starters. Women pay more than men for almost all of their necessities, from dry cleaning to razors to shampoo to blue jeans. It's known as the pink tax, and it's pervasive. The New York City Department of Consumer Affairs found that 42% out of 800 products it surveyed cost more for women than for men. That can add up to $1,400 a year for women, a California study found. Considering that women earn less than men for the same jobs in the first place, the financial consequences are significant. Depending on where you work, the cost can be even steeper. The fashion, advertising, and hospitality industries are particularly brutal for women. When I was an editor at Condé Nast, a publisher known for magazines like Vogue and Glamour, every item of clothing, pocketbook, and pair of shoes I wore was scrutinized, even though I worked at a business publication and didn't share the same elevator bank as the fashion editors. Walking into the company cafeteria with a sea of eyes staring you up and down could turn into an exercise of doubt and self-flagellation.